happy day after Sunday after Thanksgiving. How is everyone doing? Still turkey napping? Apparently so. I get to be here today and that we get to worship together today if I haven't had a chance to meet you. I know I've got to meet everyone in the house. I would love for you to join us if you're watching us online. My name is Tyler West. I'm the founder and lead pastor here at the Vine Church. We've been celebrating 3 years of God's faithfulness, and I'm so thankful today that we are going to wrap up our Reclaimed series. Now, what we've been going through is every year we walk through this series, and you just get to meet different parts of our Vine fam. All right, and sometimes I can take for granted that maybe all of you know me, so you get to learn a little bit about my story each and every week, but I love for each and every person here to meet Vine fam and get to know them a little bit better. So every year you're going to see this. So if you were to look back on our website, look back on our YouTube channel, look back, you can see all of the stories that we've had. And so today I'm going to wrap up talking about what it means to live reclaimed. Because so many times in our life, that's where we can struggle, right? I really believe stuck. I believe that's where we can struggle. So I say it all the time. You're only a guest one time. After that, you're part of our family, and family gets to know each other. So the way our family is going to get to know each other today, maybe you're going to learn something new about your neighbor. If you're watching online, please comment this. If you're watching online, we really miss you. We've got plenty of chairs. We would love to see you. Make plans to be here with us next week as we can. Series and get rocking and rolling there. But I want you to share with your neighbor your favorite Thanksgiving food / tradition. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food or tradition? What's the thing that you love doing? I know in this year, Thanksgiving looked different for many of us, didn't it? So what is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition or food? For me, it looked a little bit different, obviously, but Thanksgiving was always about watching the Macy's Day Parade and putting up a Christmas tree. Like, that was something that was always something family about me. If you know what's happening there for each and every one of us, that's kind of what I usually do on Thanksgiving. I didn't get to do that this year. Share more about that a little bit later. But for each and every one of us, I'm so thankful that we can continue to do that and continue as family there. So today, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to hang in there. I'm so thankful that I get to be here today. I'm thankful for each and every one of your smiling faces here and online. You better be smiling too. I'm going to ask you, smile. There we go. Smiling. We're going to be smiling too. So if you've got your Bible today, I'm going to hang in here as long as my voice will let me. And I believe that Jesus is going to do something awesome with it. So if you've got your Bible today, I'm going to get you to go to two places for me. Two places. 1 Corinthians 1, and we're going to wrap up in Ephesians 2. Now, if you don't have your Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. But also, I love our Vine production team has it on the screen for you wherever you're watching throughout the week, but you can also follow along with us on the Bible app. It's such a privilege and a partnership that we have with them each and every week. So if you'd like to do that, make sure you download the Bible app and you can follow along with us there. You can see where to take notes. You can see where we can pray with you and pray for you. But if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians 1. And I'm going to lay all my cards on the table. I know that normally you're used to me being really linear and walking through more than one verse. We're going to unpack two verses today because it's really important for us to unpack the first two verses of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 and 2, because I believe Paul is showing us how we can live reclaimed together. Now, let me set the stage of what the Corinthian church look like. So when Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church, Corinth is a place that's known for its luxury, and it's also known for its sexual exploits. That doesn't exist anywhere, does it? So it is known, believe it or not, it was known in ancient Greece. It is found in modern day Greece, but Corinth is known for its extravagance, and it's known for being ornate. And so when we were coming to this and talking about being reclaimed, I started thinking about Christmas trees. Aren't they extravagant and ornate? Not the other stuff, not what Corinth is known for. If you got a tree that's set up like that, let's talk after the service in the care room. We need to talk about that. But like ornate and luxurious is what Corinth was. Now here's the thing that Paul is doing as he's writing to this audience. It's different than the thing that we think of when it comes to Christmas. When it comes to Christmas, we're used to hearing from two gospels, either Matthew or Luke. Those are written to very conservative religious people that are they keep everything hidden and they're all about religion. But when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, what's happening is the wealthiest city in Rome, one of the wealthiest cities in Rome, is now converting to Christianity. They're confessing Jesus as Lord, but they're running into a problem. They're confessing Jesus as Lord, but they're not changing their lifestyle. So they're staying the same. They're not changing. They're not growing in the Lord. They're staying the same. And that's what I want us to talk about today as we go here, because Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian church, like, you start by confessing Jesus as Lord, but at the heart of Christianity is transformation, of living reclaimed, of living like Jesus loves us enough to accept us just as we are, but he loves us enough not to stay that way, right? Like, he loves us there. And so when Paul is writing Corinth, I believe that's kind of where we are in 2020 a little bit. We're looking at, we are the wealthiest country in the world. If there's anyone who is dealing with a pandemic well, it should be us in America, right? But it seems like we aren't. Okay? And it seems like a lot of our things and a lot of the things that don't matter in our life are shedding away, and Jesus is bringing us back to him to show us what it means to be reclaimed. And I believe learning what Paul is saying here in Corinth and to the Corinthian church is how we can be reclaimed, how we can live in the world, not of the world. So Paul literally is writing this, and this is what I want us to see, and I want to say this is the problem we're going to have today. And then we're going to end with it as well when it comes to living reclaimed. Number one, we've misunderstood the teachings of Jesus as the Corinth church did. We thought salvation was the end point, not the starting block. And if we've done that, that's awesome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening, because that's the whole purpose of church, is to sit under the authority of the Word of God and continue to grow to be exactly who he created us to be together. That's exactly why Jesus came. And for others of us that are listening or wherever you are, maybe, just maybe, it's not that you've misunderstood the teachings of Jesus when it comes to being reclaimed. You've chosen to reject it. And that's the heart of what Paul is getting at to the Corinthian church, is we have to understand which one is us. If we are a Christian and we are not changing or growing, Paul is saying you've either misunderstood the teachings of Jesus or you've chosen to reject them. And so that's the problem we're going to unpack today as we talk about living reclaimed. So if you got your Bible, I'm finally going to get there. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul. Okay, stop. We're going to stop right there. This is one word. I know. It's one word. Paul. I love how Paul writes his letters. Paul's writing his letter because he's saying, listen, the writer of this letter, I want you to know what it means to be reclaimed. If you don't know about Paul, remember he was Saul. Believe it or not, in scholarly world, Paul was so smart when he was Saul, he was going to be famous no matter what. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew everything about Hebrew culture, Jewish culture. He also, as a Roman citizen, knew everything about the Gentile culture, about philosophy. And it was said that he was going to be famous no matter what. Whether he was going to write letters to the church and surrender to the Lord or not, Paul was going to be somebody that we were going to go read about one day. Just look at his letters and the way that he writes this. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, what I want you to know is, I want you to know about the reader, because I wasn't always Paul. I was Saul. As a matter of fact, I was a terrorist. Saul was a terrorist. He plotted murdering Christians. The most famous one that we know is Stephen, the stoning of Stephen, and the early church explodes in the Acts church. And when Paul plants this church in Corinth after he spends 18 months there in Acts 18, he's saying, listen, I want you to know that you're never too far gone for God. You're never too far gone to be reclaimed, because I, Paul, am writing this letter. I was once Saul, and Saul as a murderer, Saul as the worst of the worst, yet considered the most religious of religious, and the smartest of the smartest and the most intelligent, still could not figure it out. But if God can use me, Corinth church, he can use you. And what I want us to see right here when it comes to Paul is it's so important for us, because he is saying, listen, in this season, you're never too far gone. I can tell you right now, if you're watching online, we get online prayer requests constantly about people who think they're too far gone for God. And I just want to tell you, that's a misunderstanding of the teachings of Jesus. Because to continue to live that way is a rejection of the teaching of Jesus. And Paul is saying to the Corinth church, to live fully reclaimed, you have to understand that you're never too far gone. He goes on to say, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul is saying 100% what I love here is this. I didn't choose this. I wouldn't have chosen to be in chains. As a matter of fact, if I would have chosen anything, I would have followed my feelings and continued persecuting the church because I was a pretty big deal before this. I seem to have had it all together when I was on the way to Tarsus and I was blinded and I met Jesus there. Like, I seem to have had it all together. As a matter of fact, like, I was the top 30 under 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there. Like, I was the one that was arriving. I had it all figured out, or at least I thought. And if I could have chosen, I wouldn't have decided to be in chains in order to spread the gospel. If I could have chosen, I wouldn't have went to Corinth to go spread the gospel. If I could have chosen, I would have been in Rome the entire time, and I would have exploded the church in Rome and would have been a televangelist and had a Learjet, well, Lear pterodactyl, I don't know what they had back then, but whatever. I would have had a Lear everything, and it would have all been worked out. Like, I didn't choose this, but God chose me. God chose me. You see, whether you've been watching online or not, I'll get through this, but you haven't seen me in a few weeks. Normally during Reclaim, you haven't. But my mother passed away a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we had her funeral. And as I was getting ready for this today and getting ready to share this, when I thought about Paul saying he was called to be an apostle by Christ Jesus, it made me think there's going to be a moment in our life where we realize that it wasn't us that chose God, but God that chose us. And when our faith becomes sight and the veil is ripped back, we are going to see this whole time that God was pursuing us, that God chose us all along, no matter how far gone we thought we were, no matter how far down the road we thought we were, no matter how much of a prodigal we were, he was standing on the road waiting for us to come home. And the thing for us to understand is if we live a life that is reclaimed, we have to understand what we're called to be and that God chose it. It's not going to make sense to our family. It's not going to make sense to the world, but it is going to make sense in God's eyes and in God's economy. So for each and every one of us to live reclaimed, that's what we have to think about is we are chosen by God to do this. How amazing, the creator of the universe that said, "Let there be light," and separated light from darkness, has chosen us to be his light to the world. Paul is saying you're never too far gone from that. I was called to do this. You know, if you ever read a good story, I want you to think about a good story, a great story. If you've ever read a book on storytelling or you think about story, think back to your favorite story, okay? I know, it's Rocky, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's where you're going. It's cool. So your favorite story all the way through, a great story has a couple of parts. You can look through every one of them. I guarantee you yours does too. Your favorite story has this. Every great story has a protagonist that has a problem to solve. And when they're ready to solve the problem, a mentor comes along and shows them the way. Obi-Wan, right? We're going to walk that way, right? We can do some of the... Mickey, come on, Rock, like, what was it, Apollo Creed's guy? I can't remember his trainer. I'm messing that up, that told him to throw the towel. Like, you think of all these people, like, there's always a mentor that comes along that shows the way. Paul is saying in Christ Jesus, because of him, we have the Holy Spirit that is our mentor that will guide us along the way to show us the answer to the problem that we have, which is trying to be Lord of ourselves. Trying to reclaim ourselves. Paul is saying that's not what it's about. It's about going and living reclaimed because God has reclaimed us, his creation. And so for each and every one of us, when we look through all of that, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, and this is going to sound familiar, stop trusting your feelings. Because how you feel isn't exactly what's going on. How you feel might be wrong. How your instincts are may actually be the wrong way, because if you're called living in the will of God, you will see that your feelings betray you. You will see that your feelings sometimes can be wrong. You will see that your feelings will always go to your best interest, not the interest of everyone else. But when you're acting in the will of God and called to be in the will of God, all of a sudden the interest of others are lifted above yourself, isn't it? Paul is telling the Corinthian church to live reclaimed. That's how it is, because we have this Holy Spirit guiding us as, oh, and a matter of fact, remember Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you alone. So we always have a mentor in Christ Jesus. How thankful can we be that we have Christ, that we're on this side of Christ Jesus, not on the other side before Christ Jesus, that he is with us always, no matter what we are walking through. So Paul is saying all the way through this that, hey, I'm called to be an apostle. Paul, a sinner among sinners, chief sinner among all, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. When it comes to our story, 100%, when we think about what our story looks like and we look, I want us to think back on our story when we talk about who Jesus is to us and we unpack the problem of whether we've misunderstood his teaching or chosen to reject his teaching. I want us to think so many times about how our feelings got in the way. I hate to say it, Tony Robbins is wrong. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I don't care how positively you think. I don't care how negatively you think. I hate to tell you, I got to tell you this. This is the truth. The will of God will always be accomplished. That's what Paul is saying. Called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Not because I think it, not because I'll be it, not because I am it. No. The will of God will be accomplished 100%. And I don't know about you, but the most peace I've had with my mother passing is the will of God will be accomplished. 100%. The will of God has been accomplished. The will of God. And for each and every one of us, we can have faith that the will of God will come to pass, no matter how much we don't want it to, no matter how much we beg for it not to. But if we will sit under the authority of it, called to be an apostle of him, it's crazy how much peace we can have in it. How much we can live reclaimed. It's what the world can look at us and say, how in the world are you standing right now? And I can say in front of you today, only because of Christ Jesus. Because I can tell you, the last message my mother heard preached, she was sitting right there. She heard what is the meaning of life. She heard about my father. She heard about the story. When I shared what I'm sharing exactly with you right now, how I'm so thankful that I'm not the God of my life. So thankful. Because if I was the God of my life, you know what it would lead me to? Isolation, desolation, and brokenness. And I remember her saying, that's the best, that's the most real, that's the best I've ever heard you talk about Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, little did I know 3 weeks later that we would be celebrating her life and her going home. Yet at the same time, I want to tell you, even now, God is still God, God is still good, and I'm thankful for his will being accomplished. Because if she wasn't gone, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Because I'd probably be wherever she is. I would be at the hospital. I would be somewhere else, and I wouldn't get to share with you what it means to be reclaimed, because today I want you to know we're called to live reclaimed, just like Paul said. Paul, a murderer. How many of us went out murdering people? How many of us have plotted to murder people today? Okay, you can put your hand down. It's all right. I know, it's family. But as you hang up the stockings, I'm going to kill this one. You know, it is what it is. Like, none of us. Yet God still worked through Paul to be an apostle, to spread the early church, called to be an apostle by the will of God. And so what Paul is saying and what I'm trying to tell you as I share with my mother brokenly, I'm sorry, I'll be honest with you, brokenly is this, the question you would ask, sitting under the will of God, even though you have experienced loss, is it worth it? Resoundingly, yes. My mother would tell you it's worth it. My father would tell you it's worth it. I am telling you resoundingly yes. And you want to know why? Because there are people dying in the streets every day trying to be Lord of their life, burning in hell for eternity because they're seeking the answer that we have. And no matter what this 15 minutes, this short breath that God gives me on this earth, he's going to ask me what I did with it. And I can declare with my mouth and declare with everything that I do that yes, it was worth it. And yes, I will lift his name high. And no matter what happens, he will be glorified because he is the only one that can redeem loss. He is the only one that can take desolation and bring redemption. He's the only thing that can take hopelessness and bring hope. He is the only thing that can bring transformation to situations that seem lost. And so for us, I want you to know what Paul is saying is if we want to live reclaimed in 2020, we want to live reclaimed in this season, we've got to be called to be an apostle by the will, by Christ Jesus, by the will of God. We have to live reclaimed. And so the question and what I'm calling for all of us is, are we willing to do it? Because with my dying breath, I will. With every breath I have, I will. I want Jesus' name to get the most fame. When I go, I don't care if you mention my name. The one name that you will declare is Christ Jesus. I don't care about anything else. And that's what Paul is trying to say for all of us. That's how we can share the hope of the gospel. And right now, I don't know about you, but in 2020, I'd say some people are searching, aren't they? My goodness, they are. Black Friday deals, Cyber Monday deals, Shop Saturday, Small Business Saturday. I don't know what Sunday is. Skip Church Sunday. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is today, like, people are searching for their answer. Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, hey, you searched long enough for the answer in sex, money, fame, and prestige, but you've declared Christ Jesus as Lord of your life, and it's time to understand his teachings and live reclaimed. So I want you to know right now, all the way through, as I share this, it'd be really easy for us in this season, we've shared this in 2020, to make a political statement. You won't hear me say that as a pastor. To make a stand on, do you see the last election? No, I don't care. I mean, I'm just being real with you. God, the will of God's going to be accomplished in it, no matter what, who cares? It is what it is, because I'm playing the long game. And I'm saying Paul is telling us as the church to play the long game. You want to see families restored? You want to see addicts set free? You want to see legislators be Christian? You want to see Christian leaders in politics? You want to see the media change? You want to see our state change? You want to see our schools change? You want to see the world change? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Nothing else. Not temporary, but eternal. Long game. That's why we're going to get through 2020. We're going to see through 2020. The will of God will be accomplished through 2020. We would have never guessed, I'm telling you, 3 years ago when we launched the Vine, we would have never guessed, okay, in 2020, we're going to have to shut down for 12 weeks. Like, we're not going to be able to gather. We're not going to be able to do anything. It's going to be crazy. We're going to have to figure things out online. And, oh, by the way, the pastor's going to lose his mother. He's going to catch COVID himself and be in quarantine. He's going to be away a week. The first Sunday he's ever missed in the 3 years of existence of the church was last Sunday. Like, all of this is going to happen. I would say that many of us would have never said that we wanted to do that. But I will tell you that everyone that prayed for this and everyone that's a part of this would have said, even if we knew it, we still would have said yes. Still would have said yes. Because it's about eternal. And so that's what Paul is talking about for all of us. He goes on to end verse 1 and he says, and our brother Sosthenes, say that with me, Sosthenes. You get to have a lisp today, everyone. Sosthenes, isn't that a good one? What a cool name. To the church of God in Corinth. This is how Paul is unpacking this problem. He's saying, okay, to live reclaimed, I want you to know, you're never too far gone. You're never too far gone. God can use anybody, and I'm living proof. If God can use me, he can use anybody. Paul is saying that as well. He's saying you may not have chosen the life you lived, but if you live called and live in what you're called to be and what God created you to be in Christ Jesus, you will be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and you will be a part of God accomplishing his will through you. But he ends up by saying there's something else that you have to have. There's something else in the sauce of being reclaimed. And it's community and accountability. That's what living reclaims about. That's why he says, my brother Sosthenes. Sosthenes. You're welcome. Sosthenes. A lot of spit everywhere. We're socially distanced, don't worry. But Sosthenes to the church of God in Corinth. He doesn't say the one location. He doesn't say the church down the road in Corinth. He says to all of the church of God in Corinth. He is saying that church is important for us because when we're involved living reclaimed, I can tell you, I love that our Vine fam here, there are sowers here every week. Alex talked about it in the welcome, that give of their time, their talent, their treasure. They're all in. They're willing to give it all because they know the church is what it's supposed to be about. Because in the church, you fall under the authority of the Word of God. And let me tell you what's so important about the Word of God that the world can't give you. You see, isn't it funny how the self-help section is always the biggest section in the bookstore and it grows? Don't you think that if it worked, that would only be one book? But see, there is. If there was only one book, if it worked, it wouldn't be growing. And you wouldn't need to buy my next copy, would you? You know, the first one's free, but the second one's not, right? Like you wouldn't have to do all that. But the thing about sitting under the authority of the Word of God in a church that believes that Jesus is who he says he is you find out who God is in this. You find out what family really looks like in the Word of God. Hey, you find out what love really looks like in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, you'll find out who you are supposed to look like when you sit under the authority of the Word of God in his church. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church as he's walking and he goes on throughout this entire letter that they have to forget their ego and instead participate in what we call ecclesia or the gathering. You've got to be a part of being all in at church, of living reclaimed. You've got to be willing to be a part of church because here's the thing that church will do. It will wrap its arms around you when you are hurting, and it will rub against you and sharpen you and make you who you were created to be in the Lord. This world can never do that. This world will mold you into what you think you should be. But I don't know about you. I don't like being molded into what I think I should be because I think that I should be like 6'8", 185, 0.5% body fat. Obviously, that's not true. Like, I think I should be that, right? Like, I'll be a skinny 185. I don't know. It is what it is. Like, I believe I should be that, right? I believe that I should be a quadrillionaire, like running around, you know, just throwing out money like the Joker and the real Batman. You know what I'm saying? Money, 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 right? Like, that's what I think I should be, but God had something better planned for me, and God has something greater planned for me, and it could only have been found in the church. Nowhere else could it be found. Only in the church. And so for each and every one of us, as we're diving in, I want to ask you online, I'm going to challenge you. What church are you part of? We got room here. We got room in this crazy big family, and I said it a million times, I'll say it again. Don't worry about being the crazy one, because now more than ever, it's this guy right here. I'm the crazy one. I've got that spot occupied. You can fill the seat for a little while, but, I mean, I'm just going to let you know, I'll probably have the crown of crazy, right, 100%. So you'll fit right in. The thing that you've got to understand is in this life, what God is showing us in 2020 is the importance of community and accountability in the church. Because churches haven't been gathering. The ecclesia hasn't happened, but he has blessed us enough to be able to. And I am so thankful for that. And so wherever you are, I want you to know we're ready for you. We set up every week. We're ready for you. Don't worry. We're not going to come beat down your door at your house unless it's trick-or-treat season or you got like really good hot chocolate or something. We'll figure that out. But like whatever that is, we're not going to do that to you. We just want to wrap our arms around you and walk with you in accountability because here's the thing that church lets you do. It lets you be a part of something bigger than you. Right now, I can tell you, if it wasn't for church, last week wouldn't have happened. Through this season with my mother, if it was all on me, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. As a matter of fact, how about this? I want you to think about it this way. If it was all on one person, when Paul stoned Stephen, when he was Saul, and the church spread, and it was all on one person, the church would have died right there. Would have gasped at its last breath. But it's not. And that's the importance of community and church. And maybe right now you're saying, hey, man, I don't want to sit under the authority of God. The Bible, I've heard this a million times, so I'm just going to go ahead and put it out to you. The Bible is oppressive. No, you know what's oppressive to me? The Bible is not oppressive. The Bible is actually something that sets you free. The most oppressive thing that I can ever see, actually Soren Kierkegaard says it this way, the most oppressive thing, the ultimate slavery for each and every one of us is to be the Lord of our own life because we won't allow anyone to challenge us or hold us accountable for what we're doing. That is the ultimate oppression and the ultimate slavery. Kierkegaard points that out. And the reason that that's so important for us to understand is the ultimate slavery is thinking that I've got it all figured out. Man, oh man, what a miserable life to live. You'll find that out in church. It takes all of us together to go forward. It takes all of us being exactly who we were created to be. Because the thing that I want you to know is when we think we've got it all figured out, we're what's called religious, or Pharisee. And the last time I checked, Jesus hung naked on a cross because of religion, because we thought we had it figured out, dying for our sins. We thought we had it figured out. We thought that we had the sacrifices figured out, didn't we? We thought that we remembered all of the Levitical law, plus the 600 laws those Pharisees tapped on top of it, right? Like, we thought we all had it figured out. And I want to tell you, the freeing thing of following Jesus is being a part of his community and in his church as his bride. Maybe you're not part of a church right now. Maybe you didn't even know we're meeting live. We're meeting live, downtown YMCA in Spartanburg. We'd love to have you here. Because of Christians.
I'm just so tired of Christians, not just being Christians. They know they say one thing and they live the other.
That's what Paul's pointing out here in Corinth. And I just want to say it to you this way. Ignore them. Ignore their screw-ups and hang-ups. Ignore it. I've heard it when it comes to Christians. Why don't you have a mega building and 3,000 people? Well, last time I checked, Jesus was born in a cave because there was no room in the inn for him. So there's never been room for Jesus. And he blesses us every week to give us the room to be able to meet, to lift his name high. But when you talk about Christians in our life, when I look at what we're doing, I believe that secularism has privatized Christianity. And what I mean by that is we have our little spheres, don't we? We call them denominations. We have our little spheres, don't we? We got to fit in our little sphere. And as long as we're in our little sphere, then that means Jesus is over. But last time I checked, he's Lord of all. He died to take over everything, not just a little bit of a sphere, but the entire sphere that is called the earth. He came and he's going to restore it one day. And he's going to take the brokenness and make it new. And he's going to take all the tears and he's going to wipe them all away. But it's only can be found in him when he fully reclaims us because we've confessed him as Lord. And so what I would say today is maybe you are struggling with that. And I would say, look to Jesus. Because if you're depending on me, I'm going to let you down every time. 100%. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out. Imagine that. Imagine if I worked for you and I walked in and I was like, hire me, I'm going to let you down immediately. Like, I'm just going to let you know. You probably wouldn't do it. The only thing that will not let us down is Jesus. 100%. So it brings us back to the problem. Have we misunderstood the teachings of Jesus in living this reclaimed life, this life that has been reclaimed, that has been redeemed? Or have we chosen to reject it? If we've misunderstood it, I'm glad we're here because we're going to learn about it together. Because I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. And as long as I'm surrendered to his will, I promise you, we're going to learn about it together. But for those who have chosen to reject it, maybe you say right now, the reason I reject the teachings of Jesus, if you're watching online, I'm so thankful you're here. I don't want you to think I'm beating you up. I've just been through it myself, and I've had to walk through this myself, so I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe you believe there are many paths to God. How many of us have heard that? Many paths, right? Buddha has a path. Muhammad has a path. Like, Krishna and Vishnu have a path. Everyone has a path. Like, there's path to enlightenment. And the thing I want to tell you about this, because my nerdy self is here, logically, we can't both be right. We can both be wrong, but we can't both be right. Now, you know me, I love Plato. I talk about the Republic, the allegory of the cave. And the thing about Plato and the allegory of the cave, I'm going to be nerdy, so hang in here with me. The nerdy people are going to be happy. Metaphysical plurality cannot exist in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you is we both can't be right. You want to know how I know we both can't be right? I'm going to go ahead and tell you about your moral compass right now. It's Black Friday. Last year. Everybody's in the store. The holiday classic Jingle All the Way is on with the Governator. If you haven't seen it, you're going to go watch it now. You're in line. You're looking for the toy for your kid. There's only 5 on the shelf behind the cashier. Limit 1. You are number 5 in line. Nobody behind you's noticed. No one. Think about that joy. That person 4 in front of you goes and you take the step up. And all of a sudden, you've been waiting 30 minutes to get that toy. Somebody cuts in front of you. Now, if truth is relative, the person that cut in front of you is okay because they said they were feeding their kid, which is non-existent. You can't see them, and their cousin was holding their spot. Like, all of a sudden, your moral compass picks up. You realize metaphysical plurality can't be there because you can't both be right, because rightly so, you are standing in line, right? Like, all of a sudden, I need this toy for my kid. Like, I will choke you. Like, you know, like, it's just one of those things. Like, I will take you down. Like, morally, your compass shows what is right and what is wrong. We all have that internally inside of us. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you think there are many paths to God, there's only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Metaphysical plurality cannot exist in Christ Jesus, because he is the way. Maybe right now you've chosen to reject the teachings of Jesus because you got too much to lose. How's 2020 teaching you? For those of you who say you have too much to lose, I'm just going to be real with you. It's the most cowardly excuse I've ever heard in my entire life. It really, really is. Because I want to ask you, it takes cowardice. The things that we thought were gone, us that we think can't be changed, he's transforming us. And so for each and every one of us, I just want to ask you, wherever you are, maybe you've rejected the teachings of Jesus, and for the first time, you're realizing that maybe, just maybe, in this year of 2020, it's worth having the courage to see if Jesus is the answer you seek. And if so, I just want to help you, because all of us have been there. Ephesians 2 verse 1 through 9 says it this way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Pay attention. All of us were Corinthians living in the world. And living of the world, instead of being in the world, not of the world. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were nature deserving of wrath. We tried to reclaim ourselves. But because of God and his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. What it's saying is this. We can't earn it. It's a gift. Being reclaimed is a gift. Regifting is not something that's fun, is it? It's always that, the Jar Jar Binks soap, you know. Anyway, like, regifting is not fun, but being reclaimed will set you free like never before. And so today, I want you to know all of us had to make a decision about whether we had the courage to believe with faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Just as Paul wrote, all of us were once sinners in need of a Savior, in need of something to redeem us. And God, in his great mercy, sent his one and only Son to be the perfect life we couldn't be, to be the payment for the debt of our sin, to rise again, to give us life, to be the thing that brought us into being reclaimed. But the thing is, we had to have the faith to receive the gift. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't work our way to it. We couldn't think our way to it. We just had to receive it. And so right now, we're about to pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. We're going to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the grace of God that you receive the gift of salvation through faith. So I'm going to ask everyone to please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in the house today, I'm going to ask you to respond on the count of three and have the courage to raise your hand if you can say, for the first time, you have confessed Jesus as Lord of your life. One, two, three. Wherever you are, have the courage to raise your hand. Have the courage to reach out. We want to celebrate with you. If you want to reach out to us throughout the week at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698, we would love to celebrate this decision with you, because the thing that I want you to know, no matter what, is Jesus is the only thing that can take a grave and turn it into a garden. He's the only one that can make a sea into a highway. He's the only one that can take the broken things in our life and raise them to life and restore them. And he can take the dead things and raise them to life. He can take the broken things and piece them back together. The lost things he can redeem. Only in Christ Jesus can we live fully reclaimed. And so if that's you, we want to celebrate with you, but we also want to walk with you through, just as Paul did with the Corinthians, how to live a life that's reclaimed. And for the rest of us, if you want to go ahead and get ready to worship, you can go ahead and stand. We're going to get ready to worship, and we're going to sing a song that we have been wearing out over these past few weeks, and I love it, because I can't think of anything more appropriate of living a reclaimed life than celebrating who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And as we lift his name high and we examine whether we've misunderstood the teachings of God or rejecting the teaching of God, I want us to think in our life of the people who need to be here who have rejected the teaching of God for so long. Let us be broken for them so much that we will no longer let them search the world to find what can't satisfy them. Instead, we point them to Jesus as a family together, because the hardest people to point to Jesus is your family, isn't it? Because they know all about you. They know all your failures and faults. But I tell you what, if they come in this house, they're going to feel the love of Jesus like never before. So as we lift his name high, I want us to be thinking about who needs to be here with us. So let's get ready to worship together.
Trey.
Yeah. All right. All right. So that was awesome, isn't it? I love that song. So I want to talk to you really quickly. Hey, when we talk about Living Reclaimed, one of these cool things we have is these shirts. And so maybe you're wearing these out and a conversation gets started up and somebody says, what is this about? Well, realistically, it's about how we get to live reclaimed. It's talking about how Jesus came, lived the perfect sinless life for us, and he died for us on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again, leaving an empty tomb. And he went to heaven, and he's preparing a place for us. And he said his Father has many rooms. And if it was not so, he would have already told us. And he's preparing a place for us, a mansion in glory, and a new heaven and a new earth. And one day he will return. And in the in-between, while we're waiting for him to return, we get to live this reclaimed life, spreading the hope of the gospel to the ends of the earth for however long we get to. So as you are out living reclaimed, maybe this is a conversation starter. You may think, I can't share my story. That's awesome. I don't ever want you to care about my story. I want you to think about Jesus's story. Because Jesus's story is the only reason why I get to have a story, to bring him the most glory. So as we go out this week, let's live reclaimed together, because I'm going to tell you, I'm so excited. We're starting a brand new series called Next Week. Everybody else started Christmas this week, but we said it ain't December yet. So we're going to wait till December to start Christmas, because that's how we roll. So I hope and pray that you will be here next week. We've got plenty of chairs. We got plenty of room. We got an entire gym we would love to fill up with your smiling faces. So y'all check out this video and see what we're going to be kicking off next week with our brand new series called In the Dark Street Shineth.